Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye. We are starting, though, our brand new series for the month of September. And the name of this series is called Tap Out. So one thing you may not know about me is that I love martial arts and I love fighting. I love to watch the UFC. UFC is the ultimate fighting championship. And there are all these different fighting styles of people getting together. And some people say it's like gladiators. No one's dying. It's more like boxing, okay, with a little extra moves here and there. So I really love it. And I've been watching it for many, many years now. And as much fun as it is to see people just duke it out and swing away, there is nothing cooler than seeing people do some really awesome maneuvers and fight that way. Instead of actually punching each other, it's all about positioning themselves to where they can get their opponent to tap out, to say, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. And so one of my favorite fights of all time was a guy named Randy versus a huge guy named Sylvia. Now, Randy was not a small man. He's about 6 feet tall, but Randy is an older fighter, and Randy actually retired as the champion in multiple weight divisions. So he was in the heavyweight, he was in the middleweight, he was all over, and he had won them all, and he said, I'm done. I retired a champion, this is all I need. He was in his 40s, and he was good to go. But then he was offered a fight of this new up-and-coming heavyweight, and they wanted to see if Randy would take this fight. So Randy says, let's do it. He comes out of retirement to defend his belt, and his opponent, Sylvia, is 6'8", 265 pounds when he is light and trim, and he is more than 10 years younger than Randy. And when you see them walk into the ring, it felt like this David versus Goliath thing. You could see he looked straight up at him because he was so much taller than him. This guy was huge. And Randy knew he couldn't just punch it out with this guy. This guy had a longer reach. He had some huge hands. And we got to see that he has a lot of power behind these punches from his other fights. So what does Randy do when it's time to fight? Well, the bell goes off, and this giant swings at him. He ducks underneath this punch that Sylvia throws, and then he jumps on his back like a monkey. It was so smooth. He just kind of did it all in one motion, and he gets Randy from behind, and he pulls him down, and he's just laying on him, and Sylvia can do nothing. Randy had him exactly where he wanted him. He's throwing punches to the side. He's doing little kicks. But Sylvia cannot move. It didn't matter how big he was. Now, this happens for 5 rounds over and over again. Randy comes out and he just takes him and he brings him down to the ground. And we can see that he's actually saved by the bell multiple times because he had him and he was so close to tapping out. But the bell saved him there. What happens at the end of this fight is they go to judges. If you go to the judges and they start scoring it, they all score it completely in Randy's favor. Nobody could believe what had just happened. This giant, who was a younger man, was taken out by this guy's skill because he was so good. It's actually such a wonderful fight that I already showed my kids. So I was like, you guys got to see this. It's amazing. I'm about to show you something magical. And they loved it. It was awesome to see. Now, I have very little experience in what's called jiu-jitsu. But the little I have, it's just fascinating. I love to see what's happening. It's all about finding ways to take control of the situation and to get the other person to submit. You want them to tap out. Now, you may be asking, why are we talking about this at church? What does this have to do with anything? Well, the whole sermon series is about tapping out. about how we need to stop wrestling with God and we need to submit to God. And I love the graphic that we have here because we have this really tiny skinny arm and then it's right up against this really big and beefy arm. And yeah, the big arm, it does look like mine, but it's not me. I just want to, I know, but well, the thing is, what happens is we are that skinny arm and God is that really big, beefy arm. We come in all confident. We come in ready to fight. We think, we got this. I'm strong. I'm the best. I can take care of this. And then what happens is God is manhandling us. He's saying, give up. Submit. And we're struggling and we're fighting and we're saying, no, I can do this. I'm strong. But we're told that we need to stop fighting God. We should be tapping out. We should be submitting to His will. And so we're going to read out of James 4, 1 through 10, because James says it best about what it looks like to submit to God. And from the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows. We have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read James 4, 1 through 10. There's a lot that goes on here, and then we'll break down what's happening. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So we have to break this up into groups of verses because there is a lot happening here. And James, he just calls out the people. He says, what is causing fights amongst each other? I love how he doesn't say, so are you guys getting along? Or are you arguing? Are you guys fighting? No, he flat out just says to them, hey, you guys are fighting each other. I already know this. There's no question. And then he goes on to explain, and I know why you're fighting each other. I know exactly what is happening here. I know the reasons. And he comes out swinging saying, you're fighting, and it's all because of your selfish desires. And James goes on to explain, you want something you don't have. So what do? You go and try to get what you want. You take it from someone else. You say, well, they have it, and I want it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to try and take it from them. Or you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to try to get what they have. Now, instantly, we go to financial in our minds. And yeah, that's the easy thing to look at. We can say, well, I want that car, so I'm going to take it. Or I want your money, so you rob somebody. I want your stuff because it's better than mine. But this is so much deeper than that. This also is coveting and desiring anything that someone else has. Maybe you see someone else and you think, wow, they have the perfect family. Why do they have such a good family? Why did they get blessed with this and I don't have these things? You may be saying, you know what? This person that got this position, they're not even qualified for it. I can't believe they're actually doing that job. They're no good. They don't know what's happening. I should be the one that's actually in this position. Or sadly, this can be true as well. We look at other people's lives and we can see that they have a joy and happiness. And we sit there and we go, you don't deserve that. Why are you happy? You're a terrible person. I'm over here suffering, and here you are living it up like everything's great. We become jealous and covet in our hearts. Here James is saying, what you're doing is you want to tear down your brother and your sister. And it's not just that you're physically doing it, you're doing it here. And you're saying, God, you know what? I want this. They don't deserve this. I want these things for me. This isn't fair. But James does what he always does, and he challenges us. He says, do you know why you do not have these things? And he says, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why you don't have these things. You don't have these things because, first and foremost, you didn't even ask God. You didn't even go to him. You were so busy looking at others' lives and being unhappy and being jealous that you haven't even gone to God yet. That's step one. But then James says, and when you do go to God, you're not going to receive it anyways. Verse 3, you're not going to get what you've asked for because you're doing it for you. You're asking God to bless you for yourself. Selfish desires. You're asking to receive these gifts so that you can spend what you have been given from God on your own pleasures. And when you hear that, that's quite the call out. You didn't go to God, and when you did, you wanted it for you. It wasn't about what God wanted. We have this misconception that we should be able to ask God for things to make you happy. And when you don't receive those things, we become angry. We become annoyed. We become unhappy with God. And we say, I don't understand. Why can't I get these things? Why can't I have what these other people have? It's so amazing. And I'm over here suffering. And it all comes down to one thing. It's because you're wrestling with God. You are trying to make it happen the way that you want. You're trying to get what you think will make you happy. You are trying to win over God. And God is saying to you, stop it. Stop wrestling with me and submit. You're never going to win. Submit to my will, and that's how you will win. Then we get to see verse 4, and again, James uses some very strong language. He says, you adulterous people. Many of us would hear that. If someone came to you and said, you are an adulterous person, you're going to go, whoa, that's a huge accusation you just threw at me. You may say, well, I have never cheated, or I have never been unfaithful to my husband or wife. But James is not saying that you've cheated on your spouse. Actually, he's saying, you've cheated on God. That's worse. He's calling us out, and he's saying, you have cheated on God. And you may be asking, how? Don't worry. He lets us know. James tells it like it is. He says, don't you know that your friendship with the world, that actually means you're against God. You're not for him. You're actually going to the world instead of him. It says that you have enmity with him. This word means that you are actively against. You have a hatred or an ill will against God. And it's all because you're saying, I'd rather have what the world has than what God is offering me. I would rather live for the world than to live for God. We are living for what we can receive here and now. It's all about gaining more stuff and things, about having a comfortable life. We're looking from love anywhere that we can get it. Anything to make us feel good here. And it becomes so easy to make that the purpose of your life. Why you wake up every morning. And it's all because we're trying to get what we can get here and now. But in doing this, in this pursuit, we are cheating on God. We are seeking comfort, love, joy, and peace from the world and not God. And then what happens is we find ourselves lacking like crazy. We feel unfulfilled. We feel lost. We feel hopeless. And God the whole time is manhandling you. And he's saying, follow me. For anyone who has felt a conviction from God, where God is touching your heart and your mind, where you feel this pull to change and it's for him, where you see these false things in your life and you know God is asking you to follow him, this is God saying to you, submit to my ways. Submit to my will. God is saying, tap out. And that's exactly what's being said in verse 7. It's very plain. He says, submit yourselves to God. It doesn't get much clearer than that. But I love the order of how he says these things. Submit to God first, then resist the devil. So I say this all the time. I see people who are not following what God wants for them, and they know it. I see people who are living selfishly, and they're saying, yeah, but I want, I need. And things just seem to be falling apart everywhere. And they say to me, and they look at me, and they say, the devil is working hard on me. And I look at them, and I always start with this to soften the blow. I always say, I love you. I don't know everything that's going on in your heart and in your life. But I'm telling you now, if you're not following God, if you are not submitting to God, the devil does not need to work on you. The devil is not going to push you away from God, and that's because you're doing a great job doing it yourself. When you live for your own wants and desires, that evil inside of us, Satan's not going to bother with you. He's going to say, I don't need to convince you. You're doing it yourself. He doesn't have to whisper in your ear and pull you away. But when you do submit yourself to God and you're trying to follow his lead, you are tapping out and saying, God, you have got this. That's when the devil will start to put doubt in your mind. There's a reason it's in this order when we read it. It says, submit yourselves to God. And then it says, resist the devil. The devil's going to try to lie to you when you're following him. He's going to try to pull you away from God. But we don't have to worry about it. Do you know why? Because if you have submitted to God and you have said, God, I am yours, you have God to fight your battles for you. We have God's word to fight the devil off. Jesus did this. He showed us an example. The devil was tempting him, was trying to push him, was trying to lie to him. And all Jesus did was quote God's word. And just like that, it says he will flee from you. You have to understand what's being said here. You have to understand the power in giving your life to him. And then verse 8, it says, go to God. Draw as close as you can to him. You do not have to fight God to get close to him. It's not that you're drawing closer to God and he's saying, get away from me. That's not what's happening. Actually, it says when you draw closer to God, he is drawing closer to you. And when we give our lives up to him, we get to be right there with him. But it also says there are things that we have to get rid of in our lives. There's this misconception being thrown around that it's okay to do whatever you want. You can sin as much as you want. It's not a big deal because God's grace is enough. And it is. Yes, God loves us. Yes, God loves us in spite of our sin. Yes, God died for us while we were still sinners. But God wants us to love Him enough to run from our sins, to want to follow Him. This is why it says right here in James, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Meaning that sin in your life, don't live for it and say, "It's okay, God will forgive me." It's saying, turn your hearts away from that and go to God. Say, "I'm done with this sin and I'm going to live for Him completely." God wants you to stop living a life for your selfish wants and desires and to follow Him daily. Are we going to fall? Yes, because we're human. But your heart, your drive, your desire should be to follow Him and to give up that old life. And that's exactly what James is talking about in verses 9 and 10. He paints a picture of what we need to do. He says, "Grieve, mourn, wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom." And you may be saying, "But I thought I was supposed to have joy in God. Where does that work out?" Yes, but we should be first addressing that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. This is the realization that you've done wrong, that you have hurt God, that you need to change, that you're living for things that are wrong. And it's time to submit to Him, to humble ourselves to His teachings, to what He wants for our lives. To say, "God, I know You are stronger. God, I know You are better. God, I know You are greater than anything else this world has to offer." And then you get to verse 10. It says to humble ourselves before the Lord. Why should we humble ourselves and submit to God? It says because He will lift you up. It may seem like that doesn't mean a lot, but we're going to talk about what that means. We have this silly thought process that submitting to God means that we are oppressed, means that we are beaten down by Him, that we are made into slaves that have no choices, that we've lost our freedom in everything we want to do. But that is the opposite of what is actually happening here. When we submit, when we tap out, we become more powerful. You're not weaker. You're not oppressed. You're actually free. And we're going to read one more group of verses. And I'm going to warn you now, these verses get me a little riled up. So it gets me excited and ready to go. I'll try not to go too fast and just start sputtering. I know like the first service today, I got a little too excited and I tripped over my own words. But that's okay. So we're going to read Romans 8, 31 through 39. Romans 8, 31 through 39. It says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is what submission to God looks like. When you submit to God, who can stop you? No one. When you submit to God, who can actually hurt you? No one. When you submit to God, what can separate us from God and His love? Nothing. Nothing in all creation. Actually, now you are more powerful than you have ever been before when you submit to God. And verse 37 tells us you are more than a conqueror. You are unstoppable. But the first thing you have to do is tap out to God. Submit to Him. And you will find yourself then stronger, freer, and better than you have ever been living this life for your own wants. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. It's time for all of us to say to God, you win. You are better. You are stronger. You got this. Take over my life. Lead me in the direction I need to go. It is time for all of us to tap out and follow His will and live for Him completely. And you will find yourself ready for anything that this life has to offer. Next week, we're going to be looking at a story of exactly what this means and how to live it. And it's going to be exciting to see people saying, there is nothing you can do to me. You know why? Because I have tapped out to God and I am ready to go and there's nothing you can do to separate me from Him. So this week, tap out, submit to His will, and follow Him completely. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your love. Thank you for showing us how amazing and awesome you are. Too often we think that we can handle it ourselves, that we're strong enough. We have these wants and we're going to get them ourselves. And you're telling us, no, submit to me, submit to my will, and you will be better, stronger, and freer than you ever have been. I pray that we have the courage to just give up to you and say, yes, I'm all yours. We love you and we thank you. It's your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.